Learning to work together is something that you are not born with. It's something that you must learn. If you were going to be operated on, would you want to go into a room where the surgeon and his team had never met before and weren't used to each other? If you were in your house and your house was on fire, would you want a group, and you needed to be rescued, would you want a group of firemen to show up that had never practiced or worked together? Or how about in a war, and you were with soldiers and you were in a battle, and you had never learned to work together? Those are not good situations to be in. And I want us to talk for a few minutes this morning about learning to work together, learning to work together in the Lord's vineyard. We are so blessed here that we are Christians, that Christ invited us to come unto Him, that we can come into His vineyard to work, that He has provided all things. And as we talked about in class this morning, He is going to bless us on our effort to do that work. There are some things, though, and before I go any further, a couple of things I want to mention. We need to remember to pray for Brother Jim and Joyce as they are traveling this week on vacation. And also, I was talking with Brother Elvis this past week, and he said that Pam has COVID, and he asked for prayers for her. So back to the work now. So we are all involved in a work. And when we are part of the church, again, that's the greatest institution that there is. And there is the church where we have an individual responsibility, and then we have a collective responsibility. And both of these go together. Some people think that they can be a member of the church without belonging to a group, to a congregation. We can't read about that in the Bible. And with businesses, when we think about learning to work together, something that is common with so many of them is what is called a standard operating procedure. Just a standard way of doing things. This is who we are, what we are. This is how we do things. So in any kind of team endeavor, the participants must learn to work together. In Acts 2:42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. The apostles' doctrine was the standard operating procedure, what they were to do. And in fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. You think about a basketball team or a football team or a soccer team. For them to win, they need to learn to work together. And God designed His church, His vineyard, for everybody to work together. We have seen over the years in the past when a group of individuals to not work together, they do not understand certain standard things. Sometimes there are splits that take place, divisions, at the very least, strife, strained relations. So it's important to understand some basic things about working in the Lord's vineyard. One of the first ones is we must learn to follow the rules. I mentioned different sports teams a minute ago. The Bible talks about that also, 2 Timothy 2:5. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. This is not a new principle. If the rule book says three strikes and you're out, you aren't out at two strikes, you aren't out at four strikes, it's you're out at three strikes. If the rule book says you take the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week, you don't take it Saturday night, Friday night, once a year, twice a year. And if the members of a team do not work together, there can be things that happen to that team that are not good. And the same is with the church, with God's people. And we learned that lesson way back in the Old Testament. In the days of Joshua, Achan violated the rules and he stole the accursed thing. In Joshua chapter 7 and verse 21, when I saw among the spoils a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them, and there hid them in the earth in the midst of my tent with the silver under it. When the Israelites went to advance on Ai, they were hindered by the actions of one man. They lost that battle. Ai was a small city. The Israelites thought, surely we can take it without a problem. They lost the battle because of one man. Joshua 7:12, therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they have become doomed to destruction. Neither will I be with you anymore unless you destroy the accursed from among you. Sometimes we talk about this as sin being in the camp. Here with this, we saw where Achan violated the rules. He didn't play by the rules. It hurt the team. To learn to work together, we must follow the precepts and principles in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 1:10. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you, but that you may be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. We all go back to God's word to be of the same mind. And we don't go to some man in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6. That teaches us not to speak of men above what is written. We get in problems when we don't follow the rules and we start following some man. Another thing that we need to learn is to concede personal preference. To learn to work together, we must realize that in matters of judgment, nobody can have their way in everything. You see people argue and splinter and divide about so many things that Satan is so happy about. You know, one person will say, oh, I don't think you can put up a Christmas tree at Christmas time. And another person will say, oh, I don't think you can go into a store that sells alcohol. And somebody else will say this and somebody else will say that. If you don't believe in those things, don't do those things. But we've got to concede a lot of personal preferences. We need to minimize that. And there are some here, and I'll pick on you since you're sitting up front. I got to watch what I say about loving other women, but I love you like a sister. When I look at you, we have differences. When I look at you, I don't see your differences. I see everything that we have in common. And for the work to be what God wants it to be, we need to concede personal preferences. We work together, and if you don't believe in putting up a Christmas tree or whatever it may be, well, then don't do that. Romans 14:19, therefore let us pursue the things which make for peace and things by which one may edify one another. That's the things that we need to focus on, the things that edify one another. And our opinions in matters of personal conviction will not edify and cultivate love. Somebody says you can't work on Sunday. Well, if that's your personal conscience, don't do that. Somebody else may believe in that it's okay. And just as a side point, and I've heard that argued back and forth over the years. And as a side point, when you think about the Jews in the first century, probably just about every one of them went to work on the first day of the week and had services in the evening, because the Jewish economy was built on being the Sabbath day a holy. And then they started back to business on the first day of the week. And people have different ideas. That's fine to have ideas and personal conviction, but we must learn not to impose our personal conviction on others. We must strive to edify and cultivate love. Another thing that we need to learn to work together is to accept criticism. A lot of people cannot take criticism. We've got to learn to take criticism if we are to work together. And one of the things I learned a long time ago, if I was doing something wrong at work, and I didn't like it when people told me that I was doing something wrong, but I learned I needed to hear that, because what would be happening is they would be telling everybody else out there instead of the person that needed to know it, and that was me. And do we like to be criticized? No. But we need to learn how to take it. Constructive suggestions and friendly rebukes can be helpful. And that doesn't mean we go and we criticize everything that everybody does. We point out things, though, in a spirit of love. But then also, we have to learn to have tough skin. Like we were told, David and I were told, you know, if you're going to preach, you need to have skin like an alligator. It's got to be tough, because everybody's going to criticize you. You did this wrong. You did that wrong. You didn't say this. You should have said that. Well, 1 Thessalonians 5:14, now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. We are to say things to people when they need correction, but we are to comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, and be patient with all. You stop and think, Jesus criticized Martha for her anxiety over her housework in Luke chapter 10. We need, sometimes maybe we just need to learn when somebody tells us what we did wrong, just say thank you. Some cases we may receive criticism and it's unjust and worthless. The Pharisees criticized Christ all the time. They heaped that kind of criticism on our Lord. But if anybody is doing anything, another reason we need to learn to accept criticism, who's going to get criticized? The person that's doing something. Is the person that's not doing anything going to get criticized? Usually not. But you just think about, if you go out and you do something, people are going to criticize you. So the criticism must be weighed. If it has any merit, if somebody points out to me something, it might be better if you did it this way than that way. If it has merit, I profit by it. If it's something that's worthless, and then I should discard it. They say I should comb my hair the other way. I don't need to worry about that. Another thing, if we're going to work together, we must learn to esteem others. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. We've got to look at the value of each person and how important everybody is. Again, everybody is important. How important? So important that Christ died for everyone here. Everyone here and everyone outside of the building. And we must not attempt to put ourselves ahead of others for the purpose of being preeminent, of lifting ourselves up. We must elevate and see the good qualities and esteem them and not ourselves. Brother Kent, you did a good job leading the singing. Brother David, you did a good job filling in up here. We need to appreciate and thank people and esteem them. Esteem them and reinforce when people are doing things. Romans 12:10, in honor preferring one another. If someone is to get honor, who should get it? One another of us here. We must learn to esteem others. Unfortunately, sometimes, again, people look for ways to put people down instead of lift them up. If we want to learn to work together, we must learn to value leadership. A team requires leadership. That's why the Lord, in His church, designed it to have elders and deacons. That's why we need to be praying for elders and deacons. And somebody will say, well, I don't see anybody here that could do that. That may be the case, and we would need a plurality, but we need to be praying. Again, thinking of the stewardship of this church, what's it going to be like in the next generation or the generation after that? We need to be praying. We need to be planning. We need to be teaching. When we have young men, we need to instill in them the desire. And I've mentioned the story before when I was an early teenager, where one of the elders came to me and he said, Bruce, we're having a class on the elders and you need to be in there. And he told that to the other boys my age also. He said, you need to be in there. This is the time, this is the age you need to be thinking about this. You wait till you're older, you aren't going to have the desire. You wait till you're older, you may have done things in your life that's going to disqualify you. We need to start training someone to think about being a leader in the Lord's church. We're the stewards of the Lord's church. When we leave, when we die and pass into eternity, and God is going to look at everything that we have ever done, and that is going to include our stewardship at this congregation with the work that we do. When I leave this world, am I going to have left helping to contribute to make this a better place or a worse place, or I had no influence at all? I need to think about that. If I have no influence at all, am I doing the Lord's work? In Acts 20:28, therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood. That shows the value of the church we talked about this morning, the value of our soul. Our soul is worth more than the whole world. The purchase price of the church, that's you and me, was the precious blood of the Son of God. And He says, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God. An effective collective work calls for effective elders. We need elders. We need to learn to work together. And when we have elders, we need to learn to work with elders. Are people going to always agree with them? No. Are preachers going to agree with them always? No. And again, that's why we must learn. We must learn these things. It doesn't come natural. Elders lead, the members follow. That's the word picture of them being a shepherd. You see some places where congregations haven't learned that. And when a church does not have elders, does that default to the preacher? No. That leadership role does not default to the preacher. That's what the denominations teach. And they have their pastor, preacher, leader, teacher. That's not the Lord's church. God did not design it that way. We need to pray for leaders, and the men that we have, we need to train them to be leaders in the future. If we want to learn to work together, we must learn to be tolerant to others. Working together in the Lord's cause demands patience and forbearance. You know, you think about the Lord's church, we all come to it, different races, different nationalities, different social status, You think about back in the first century, some of them would have been freemen, some would be slaves. You had a lot of social differences, and we must learn to be tolerant toward others. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 2, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. Tolerant, thinking, esteeming one another as higher than ourselves. Colossians 3:13, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. We are to be long on forgiving, patience. Sometimes we just don't have enough patience with one another. And we don't stop and think before we say something. We must learn to be tolerant. We must learn with all lowliness and gentleness and long-suffering. Again, just think if the roles were reversed. Think if you were a babe in Christ, and someone approached you not with lowliness or gentleness or long-suffering. If someone comes at us and wrongs us, or something happens, we need to be bearing with one another, forgiving one another. And again, we've got to remember, as Paul wrote in Colossians, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. And if I am so blessed and so thankful that every time that I do something wrong, that Christ forgives me. And then sometimes a brother or sister may do something and it's not a sin. We just don't like what they do. And then we get our feathers ruffled. Friends, that's not right. We must learn to be tolerant to one another. Matthew 7:1, judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite! First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from the brother's eye. If we want to learn to work together, we must also learn to be dependable. Many people in the church are dependable, and there are some that are not dependable. The ones that are not, we need to help them learn. That's part of the standard operating procedure. We must be dependable. We've got work to do. We've got to instill in everybody's mind that for the Lord's church to function, we must be dependable. Again, can I count on you? Can you count on me? Can we count on each other? The standard is the same for everybody. And if somebody is not doing something, again, does it fall on me to check on them? Yes, it does fall on me. And it falls on every one of you to check on them to see why they aren't here. And then we need to keep encouraging them. Some of them just haven't learned that. And we need to keep... I had a conversation with someone this week. They told me why they weren't here. And I said, well, please call and let us know so we don't worry about you. And I said, we'll see you Sunday then. And then... they didn't show up today, and we just need to keep encouraging them. If you aren't able to make it, please let us know. We depend on each other. I depend on people to be edified and exhorted. You depend on whoever's standing up here to teach and edify and exhort you, and with the song leading and whoever's teaching the class. We depend on each other because we're like that surgeon and his team in the operating room, or we are like trying to rescue somebody out of that house that's on fire, and we're the firemen and we've got to learn to work together, or we are in a battle and like in the military and the enemy is coming after us. And well, have you seen Joe or where's Sam? Or I thought you were going to take care of that. We can't do that in the Lord's church. We must learn to be dependable. Paul felt that John Mark was not dependable on the first journey, so he refused to take him on the second journey. So did he give up on him? No, he didn't give up on him, because in Acts 15 and verse 37, now Barnabas was determined to take with them John called Mark, but Paul insisted that they should not take with them the one who departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to work. Then later he did say that he was good for him for the work. And so there may be disagreements, but we don't write somebody off. And that leads in to the last point. One of the things that's so important in learning to work together is learning to communicate. We must communicate effectively. I was talking with somebody on the phone yesterday afternoon, and I'd hear two or three words, and then it would go blank. And I'd call his name, I'd say, I can't hear you, I can't hear you. And I'd wait, and then I could hear him a little more, and we carried on the conversation. He would have to repeat half of what he said. And why was it that way? There is a bad connection. There is a bad connection. Sometimes we have a bad connection one with another, and we need to learn how to fix those connections so that we can speak clearly and honestly, effectively. We want to eliminate communication problems. If the work of the church is important, and it is, there should be very clear communication. And again, it's thinking back to when I was a manager, and people that would not show up for work, and some would call, some wouldn't, and then with every kind of excuse. And you try to talk to people, and this, I'm using attendance as an example, but it's not just about attendance, it's about everything, because you got to learn to communicate effectively, because that's where the issue is going to show up, is in attendance most times. And if there's some issue, we should feel free to discuss it with each other. We've got to learn that. We all love each other. We would all, if we believe what the Bible says, we would be willing to lay down our life for anybody in this room. And if we would be willing to lay down our life for anybody in this room, do you mean we wouldn't be able to just sit down and talk? We need to learn to communicate effectively. I need to learn to communicate God's word effectively so that it can be understood by hearers. We need to learn to communicate to one another. Bible class teachers need to learn to communicate to the class. Friends, it's so vital that we learn to work together. Again, this is something we're not born with. The surgeon and the medical team, they aren't born with that knowledge of when they walk into the operating room, everything goes so smoothly. They have to learn that. The firefighters, they have to learn to communicate, and they have signals and signs, and they work together and practice. And should it be anything less than for the Lord's church and the greatest institution that there is? Friends, again, it is such a privilege to work in the Lord's vineyard. When I was younger, I would look at this company or that company, and I would think, I wish I could get a job with that company. Look at what they have to offer. They are so big. Look, they have benefits. They have this. They have that. And that's just a worldly company. And you think about God has called us. He has invited us to work for Him, to work in His vineyard. And what has He promised us? If we're faithful, He has promised us something that we don't deserve. You know, our sins have caused us to be separated from God. And we deserve darkness. We deserve everlasting punishment for what we have done. But because of God's love, He sent His Son to die for us through His blood that was the perfect atoning sacrifice. And we can come in contact with that blood through baptism. Friends, if there's anybody here this morning that wants to be obedient so you can start working in the Lord's vineyard, we invite you, please come forward now as we stand and sing.